it's your girl Tamika.
It's your boy E-Rock Neal.
Listen, we keep it real.
We keep it raw.
We keep it uncut.
All day.
We are Marriage Takeover. We help couples win in their marriage by identifying their triggers and breaking generational cycles.
Boom.
So welcome to this episode of the Marriage Takeover podcast show. Welcome. We are so excited to have you. Oh my gosh, she's got all of these different.
Into this place. Yes, welcome.
Are you done?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you
done? Welcome. Into this. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Okay. So now we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started with today's podcast show. We are so excited. We have one of our sister friends that's going to be joining us who is super amazing in her space.
Watch
and
out.
We are thanking God for her. And we're going to be talking about mental health on today and the understanding mental health inside of your marriage, the clarity around it, PTSD, and how to navigate your marriage when you just find out that your spouse now has a mental disorder.
Listen.
So we're going to go ahead and get started with prayer.
Yeah, because I mean, you done went all in already. You
listen, ready. We ready. We ready.
We ready. How you gonna sing gospel? Then you gonna go straight. Here we go. Father in heaven, Lord God, we bless your name now. God, we give
is
you
that
glory.
What we doing?
I thought it was time to pray. I thought
it is time to pray, but you go. We do it all that.
Why?
Okay,
go ahead. I'm ready.
You're a little real excited. Let's go.
You ready?
Ready.
You ready. Here we go. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your grace. God, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your unmerited favor. God, be in the midst right now, oh God. Father, let your anointing flow now in the name of Jesus. God, for you already know the guest that we have here today. Father, let your word come alive like never before. Father, because someone, God, needs to hear what she has to say. And so, Father, we thank you right now for your healing virtue that's going to take place, oh God. We thank you for your delivering power that's going to take place, oh God. Father, we thank you for the peace and the joy that you're going to reveal now in the name of Jesus. And Father, we tell you thank you right now, God. God, we thank you for every couple, God, that is able to mend those broken areas, oh God. God, we thank you for every couple now that now is going to receive hope, oh God. So Father, we thank you even for every individual that may be listening, oh God. God, that they receive that what you have set for them to let them know that it is going to be okay. And so Father, we thank you now, God. We give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. Father, we say this prayer in your daughter's son, Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Glory. I'm about to run already.
So we have the phenomenal. Kelly Gorham, who is with us. She is the founder of the ASA Center, where she helps high achievers traumatized by depression, anxiety, and burnout to experience relief using transformative wellness interventions so that they can restore their resilience.
She
is truly compassionate. She is a clinician by trade who loves helping people to alleviate their anxiety, depression, and their burnout, PTSD, and relationship distress. She has a theoretical orientation that is largely cognitive behavioral therapy, which is CBT, but she's flexible. She's flexible to use whatever works best for her clients. She right now is working in the outpatient and inpatient settings as well as the community mental health. So her specialization is in the crisis and trauma area and the work that she is called to do. So we are super excited
to be able to
join with us and to welcome to the stage of the Marriage Takeover podcast show, Miss Kelly Gorham.
Woo!
Welcome, sis.
Listen, I need to hire you. I need to hire you and the hype man. Take y'all everywhere I go.
I'm trying to tell you.
She is flexible, meaning what? She gonna come meet you where you
where
are.
Where you are.
I feel
Jesus already. Come on here.
So tell us, how did you get into this? And did I pronounce the center right? The ASA Center, or is it ASA Center?
ASA.
Okay. So ASA Center.
ASA.
So tell us a little bit about
that. Tell you.
Yeah. About the ASA Center and how you got started with the ASA Center.
So for me, I didn't always know that I wanted to be a therapist, right? I wasn't paying attention because God was showing me signs all along my journey. And what would happen is things like I would go to Walmart or Target, supposed to get some peanut butter and some paper towels, right? get in there, meet somebody, spend 2 hours talking with them about their issues, their problems, having them cry out. All these things were happening. Husband being in the car talking about some girl. Where are you being?
Lord.
It's 2 hours later. You just went in for paper towels and peanut butter. What happened? And I said, well, there is this woman. And she was really distressed. And, you know, I began to work with her and try to process what was going on. And so this started happening quite regularly. Mm. And, you know, the thing about God is that he never does anything really by surprise. Right. If you go back, he works in patterns,
right?
So I can go back as far back as high school, where I was that one that was kind of like the mama figure to everybody, giving advice and coaching and supporting and counseling. That's what I was doing in high school. By the time I got to college, it was a situation to where girls would gravitate to my dorm room so I could not just pray for them, but also give wisdom. They used to call me mama because I would give them wisdom, say, baby, now listen. You been over that nigga's house all night long.
Watch out now.
Make it plain. Make it plain.
Right? You been spreading your legs wide. Now,
come on now. Make it plain.
Keep them closed.
How do you feel on the inside? You know? So I would say those kind of things as a 19-year-old, as an 18-year-old to my peers. And so my girlfriend, my best friend, who actually gave me the name for the ACES Center. Her name is Tiffany Harmon. She's deceased now. But she used to say to me, you're a counselor. You are a counselor. What? Why don't you see it? Like, that's all you do. Literally. Your friends, your family. You're flowing in the gift. Why don't you just go study? Perfect it. Get the skill set perfected and go out here and do this because that's what your calling is. And I was like, huh.
Wow.
That makes sense. That's a fit for me. So God was showing me all along the process. This is who I am. This is how I show up. So the essence, and we'll talk about essence and function, especially when we talk with our couples. But the essence of me showed up as someone who was a listener, who was compassionate, who sought to bring about some level of change and transformation for individuals that were near and close to me. That's how I showed up. Wow. But I could not see it. I could not perceive it. And so it took others to continue to give that confirmation. But the whole time I was so wrapped up in just the journey of, you know, God, what am I? What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to do? And he's like, I'm leading you. I'm showing the
you
only thing I have not done, right, is write it in the clouds and say, Kelly, you are a counselor.
Oh my goodness.
Wow.
That
wow.
is so
the ACES
important.
Center, let me bring you to that.
Yes.
The ACES Center. Asa is a physician. He was a king in the Bible.
Uh-huh.
And his name means healing.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
And so Tiffany, my best friend, before she departed here, she had a vision to set up clinics all around the country that were free to offer health care to individuals that could not afford it. And so when she transitioned, I took on that mantle to say, you know what, my lane, she was medical, but I was mental health. And so I took on that mantle and said, you know what, I'm going to bring Asa with me to be able to offer not free mental health, let's be clear, but mental health services.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Can be transformative and restorative. Amen. Right?
Amen.
That was our ministry.
Amen. Amen. Say, I see what the Lord has said, but I see what he's dying said, for.
Right. But that's what it was. And so that was, this is my way to honor my best friend who saw the gift in me when I could not see it for myself. And you got to have people in your life like that, that see you for who you are and tell you, identify for you that, and support you as you strive for those goals. So I said too much and did too much. So go ahead.
No, you're good. You're good. Listen, I love it.
I'm like, wow, this thing is crazy. Because, you know, the one thing when you sit back and look at it, how often when we have that one close to us that will carry on, you know what I'm saying, what that person's desire or dream was, just a part of it, you know what I mean? Because there's no limit to what God can do in your life, especially when he has given you direction. Man, that is awesome. I know you got another question. I don't want to.
Yeah, no, I love it. I was just going to say, I love the fact, too, that you mentioned around your purpose, because we find when we are communicating with couples, like when we're coaching couples, that oftentimes they're, when we ask them, like, what is your purpose? Like, what is your assignment? What has God called you here to do? And they're like, I don't know. And I'm just like, well, you probably do know. And all the things and all the signs you're just ignoring. And so, right, all the signs you're ignoring, and you're just like, okay. If he, all he had to do was just write it in the sky for you, like you said. So when you said that, I was just like, that is so true, because we miss it oftentimes. And sometimes, most of the time, it flows effortlessly for us, especially when our gifts move in that space.
Come on now.
And so that's what I appreciate and I love about you, around just kind of how you coach your clients and just knowing you personally, how you approach people.
Yeah.
And so I think that.
So
fast. Yeah, and I love that space. And so when it comes to to marriages, so and when it comes to us in our marriages, and we're like, okay, something is going on, something is not right, how do we navigate this space of mental health and really the mental stability of our health, especially coming out of COVID? Because I really don't think that couples really have, they have, fully healed from just the COVID phase.
Yeah. So part of what has to happen is that we have to be able to create an environment or an atmosphere for openness, right? Mm. Every couple is different in how they communicate, but the goal has got to be, if there's something going on within me, I've got to feel safe enough that I can speak with my spouse about it, if nobody else, right?
Come on.
I may not share it with my mom and them, or my cousins, or my sister and brother, but there should be an atmosphere that you've created in your home to be able to be vulnerable and say, babe, something is not right with me.
Right.
I don't know what it is, but I'm fearful because I don't understand what I see happening within me. So being able to create that safe space at first. Mm-hmm. The next thing is, not putting judgment on it. And especially with my believers, we quickly want to judge things that we don't understand.
Right. Come on now.
And we've got to be able to create a judgment-free zone. And let me just say this.
Please.
With mental health, and I've heard so many different ministries and people say, I pray against the spirit of depression. Stop. Pause. Depression is not a spirit. Let me be very clear with you. Sometimes we over-spiritualize disorders that we don't understand. I come against the spirit of suicide. No, that's not a spirit.
Oh, that's good.
Depression is a physiological, that something that takes place physiologically that can be triggered by outside as well as internal influences, right? There can be imbalances, because when we say depression is a spirit, that means something outside of me has come in on me or in me. And that's not what happened. That's not what's happening. Actually, what's happening is I am having a physiological response to stressors in my environment and to things that are going on already within me. There are imbalances, so that's causing me to have this response of feeling down, of feeling anxious. So it is not a demon or a spirit, because now we got people thinking that if I'm depressed, then something's on the inside controlling me. And that's not what's happening. That's not accurate.
Ooh,
now,
that's good.
Can we pray for them? Yeah. Let's pause in that for a minute, because we've got to stop over-spiritualizing things and making people feel spooky and scared about what they're dealing with. It's okay. We
that's
have to
good.
Find new ways to understand it, educate ourselves. And that's the next thing I would say. Once you have an understanding that something's not right, seek help. Find a professional to help you understand what it is. Get a diagnosis so that then you know what the thing is that you're dealing with, whether it's schizophrenia, bipolar, borderline personality, whatever, or maybe depression and anxiety. Whatever it is, you want to know what that is, because then you'll need to educate yourself. You need to understand what that condition does, how it shows up, what makes it worse, what makes it better. You need that help, but you can't have it if you don't know, right?
Right.
G.I. Joe used to say, knowing is half. battle, right? G.I. Joe. So you need that. Right? I'm dating it. Myself. That's how old I am.
Hey, we're talking about
G.I. Joe. We know G.I. Joe.
Y'all know about G.I. Joe.
Yes.
But that's the thing. And so get an education, and then you've got to practice self-care for yourself, because if you are the spouse that is supporting the spouse that's got the mental health situation going on, you're going to have to find a system of support for you to continue to be recharged and refueled and poured back into. Why? Because you're pouring into your spouse.
Right.
And you can't give something you don't have. You cannot pour from an empty cup. So you're going to have to create infrastructure and support systems that help you to be effective in doing the work that you do, supporting that spouse. Does that make sense?
It does. It does. And it also reminds me, too, because now that there are a lot of couples that are now taking care of their parents. And so the stressors along with them taking care of their parents and still their household and then their marriage and then the everyday life with work and their children, it's a lot of stress that comes upon the families and the households that we haven't navigated before in our first couple of years of marriage. And I believe that you go through different stages of marriages. And so I'm glad that you said that just about the self-care. Although I'm not personally taking care of my grandmother, I do certain things to try to help and to support out when I can. But she has dementia, she has Alzheimer's. And so as a result of that and the strain that I see that it, you know, carrying on my aunt, and whenever I do go back home or when I call, and then there's a strain. And so when I'm done with that, I have to oftentimes pray before I even come back and sit with my family and do things with my family, just because I need to release that weight off of it, the new normal, if you will.
You know, I feel like couples in our age bracket, we're in, I call it the sandwich phase, right? Because we are halfway done, many of us, raising our kids. So they're entering as emerging adults into the world, but we're still kind of supporting them. But we also have aging parents.
Right.
And if any kind of mental health, like you mentioned, Alzheimer's or dementia has begun to come in, it makes us have to then give out more energy and effort and support in that direction as well, while still working full time, doing ministry, doing businesses, whatever else we have been connected to. And so you can begin to feel that pressure come in on you. And you're like, where is my help? And the thing is, it's up to you to create the help that you need. It's up to you to facilitate the infrastructure. Come on. So here's the thing that happens. We're looking around like, oh my God, I'm just overwhelmed. I can't breathe. I can't take it. But you've got to take a moment to say, okay, in this moment, what I need is, and identify, boom, 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 and boom. Now, in this moment, where do I get what I need? Is my wife that person? Maybe your wife is the person for some of those things, but maybe you have an outside support group that helps you with some other things. Maybe for you, you need the outlet. So maybe it's not necessarily connecting with other people, but it's you actually flowing in your own gift, your own purpose, to have a release of purpose that helps fuel you and recharge you. But you've got to identify what that is and how that works for you. So what's the key word? What am I? I'm going to wrap it up in this one word: self-awareness. You must become very self-aware as to, in this moment, what do I need? In this moment, now that I understand what I need, where do I receive that from? Who can provide that support for me? And can I lean into it confidently, knowing that it's going to provide me in those moments where I'm down what I need? Most of us out here are suffering silently, right? We're suffering silently. Nobody knows until, guess what? We break down. Then now everybody's around, because we're having meltdowns, we're going off, or we medically are going through things that put us in the hospital. Stress is a killer.
Yes, it will take you out.
Come on. And so if we're not managing that well enough, what begins to happen is your body says, I can only take so much. And you have not put anything in place for me to get any relief. So guess what? I'm going to do what I know to do. I'm going to break all the way down. Because by then, we'll get the attention. And by then, you'll make some changes. changes, because here's what I know to be true, and science shows us, most of us as adults are not going to make any level of meaningful change in our life unless we're in a crisis. Unless we are pushed to have to make a change, then we'll do it. The doctor will say, you know, you need to lose 30 pounds because, you know, you're really close to congestive heart failure. Okay, doc, we still eating how we eating. We still living. No sleep, this and that. Have a heart attack. Bam, everything comes in alignment. Listen, before, no, we can't take no vacations, babe. I'm just, we too busy. We can't do that. Have a heart attack. Oh, listen. I cleared off a whole 2-3 months. We ain't, you ain't gonna see us no more.
Right.
Text us, call us, whatever. You know, we make concessions because now what? We're fearful. Mm-hmm. We don't want that bad stimuli, that bad thing to happen to us and experience that. So that's how we make those changes. Don't let it be that you're forced to have to make a change. Go ahead and begin planning with your spouse. Hey, I work like a Hebrew slave. That's got to stop. I cannot sustain this. I'm getting older and things are happening in my body. We cannot keep going at this pace. Right. So we'll put a plan together that I'm going to begin to transition out over the next 3 months, next 6 months, next 8 months, 9 months, whatever, to begin to work less and relax more. But in order to do that, I've got to work right now to put things in place. So financially, we'll be okay. Spiritually, we'll be okay. Mentally, we'll be okay in all of the areas that are important to us. Does that make sense?
Oh, yes.
I'm going to ask you a question, because when we look at the life expectancy of men and women, that women are now living longer than men. And, you know, just, you know, by me being a male, understanding where a lot of my brothers are coming from. Brothers, let me hear you. So when we sit back and look at it, because most men, I say a vast majority as well, suffer in silence because, and I'm just talking about married men for right now, because, and I'm going to say we feel as though that our homes has not been that safe place for us to actually state how we're feeling, because when we've tried it before, we was then looked at as weak. Because, you know, when you kind of dig into it, strong women have a way of castrating a man not knowingly because of whatever they had to deal with that caused them, oh, I'm strong. But it's like, how can a man come to his wife and really state, hey, this is what I'm missing, because I'm overwhelmed with what I have. I have a lot on my plate. I got this going on. I got this. I'm overwhelmed. Like, you know, for example, like, you know, 'cause my mom, she's been battling with cancer for the past 7 years. So I got my mom over here, and I got my son acting crazy over here. Then I got this, and I got work, I got home, I got but where can a man that is under that type of pressure, in the middle of that sandwich, still trying to be a good man, how can they actually come to their wife and say, honey, this is what I need, this is where I am, I'm about to blow a vessel if you can't help me, you know what I mean? So it's like, how can a man come to being that vulnerable and saying, this is what I need? How can we do that?
That's good.
So it goes back to what I said a moment ago. Mm-hmm. In your homes, as women and as husbands and wives, it's important to create a safe place. And if you never established a safe place in your home, you're not going to be able to go to her like that.
Wow.
What may have to happen first, let me say this.
Say it now.
You might have to go outside. That might mean to a counselor, to a mentor, to a coach, to be able to process some of what you're dealing with first, so that you can have the strength to come back in and say, babe, I've been doing my own work, right? Mm-hmm. Because here's the thing. No matter what, you've got to do your own work.
You do.
We don't know, and we cannot control how your spouse may or may not receive you. Ooh. That cannot limit you to what it is you're doing to take care of yourself. So if for those men out here that say, you know what, my wife is not a safe person for me, like I can't trust her with my emotional content. If I were to tell her something like, you know, Bae, I'm feeling really vulnerable. I'm feeling really overwhelmed and overburdened. She gonna call me a punk and cuss me out. If that's your reality, I would not want you exposing yourself to that level of toxicity. Does that make sense?
Plenty.
That's good.
So the first thing I would say to you is that you might have to look going outside to a professional. Now, let me be clear. Don't go to no other woman.
Right. Right, right.
Say that.
Don't, not seeking counsel in the arms of another woman. We're not going over to Sister Christina. How's talking about Sister Christina? My wife just don't understand me.
Right. She always wanted to bring
you
the juice.
Me. You hear my voice. Right. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about going to another man or a counselor who can then, one, help you to process and deal with what you're dealing with, the stress of it all. Two, be able to give you insight as to how to bring your wife into that. And what normally would happen is that they would invite her to come in with you. So it's not you giving that content alone. You've got the support of a professional that can help you and stand there with you as you communicate your truth to your spouse. And then get spouse on board with how do you feel like you can best help them. Here's the thing. Yes, you're my spouse, but you're not my counselor.
Right.
A lot of times we as spouses try to counsel because you my boo. I know you inside out. Don't nobody know you like I know you. I know every fleck of hair and this and that. And that's true. You do. But do you have the skill set to help me when I'm going through a bipolar episode?
Ooh.
No.
That's good.
That's good.
You don't. So the thing I would say is if you know, and that can be for wives or husbands, that your particular spouse is not in that level of sensitivity to receive that kind of content, then it is upon you to be self-aware, as I said a moment ago, to find your help.
Wow.
You can create your own community of support, whether it be your pastor, whether it be your therapist, whether it be your mentor, someone that's professionally trained so that they can then help you to process and put a plan together for how do I bring this out to my spouse? How do I share with them that at night I hear voices and it ain't nobody talking?
Right. And it ain't Jesus.
And it ain't the Holy Ghost.
Right. This is good stuff. This is great stuff. So if you're just tuning in, we have Kelly Gorham with us, and we are going to go ahead and go to commercial break. So right after this, we'll be right back, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for accountability? Are you looking for personal development and growth and spiritual and emotional support? Hey, are you looking for community? Listen, if you are looking for all these things, we want you to know that the Marriage Takeover Connected membership is for you.
Yes, it is.
Listen, we meet every month. We have a wife's lounge. We've got bro talk. We have all the different things. We've got monthly classes. We have experts that come in. And it's an opportunity for us to pour into you, for you to be able to get what you need to start your healing process. So if this is for you, we want you to connect and get inside of the membership.
And we're back. Oh my goodness. Did y'all hear what she just said before we went to commercial break? We're finna dive right back in this. Because listen, fellas, let me tell y'all something. If that's you that we were just talking about before commercial break, adhere to it. Why? Because your family is just as strong as you're able to be. Mentally, physically, spiritually. So I'm telling you, man, take that, because, you know, I'm pulling out my little notepad. I'm going down my little list real quick. Yo, this is crazy. So, listen, Kelly, I got it.
Yes.
Please do.
That just hit me right now. I want to say this because there may be some men that are listening. Men, there's a difference between your function and your essence.
Come on.
So a lot of times. Yeah, let me talk to you about this.
Time out. I don't want to interrupt, but you got to repeat that again, please. And I'm going to get going. But you got to repeat that. Say it slow. Jesus.
For men, and not just for men, but for women.
Men sit in this
a lot stronger. It's for the men. So I'm going to sit in it right here. We tend to see you follow and flow in function. So what does that mean? It's the what you do. It's the I am husband. I am pastor. I am deacon. I am breadwinner. I am disciplinarian. It's what you do. But it's not the essence of who you are. There's a difference between your function and your essence. So a lot of times we attach our identity as men, you attach your identity and your, here it is, your value to what you do. So if I stop being the breadwinner, then I ain't no mere man. How many of y'all heard that? You ain't no man if you ain't making money.
Deal with it.
That's function. You ain't no real man if your wife out here working and she making more money than you. You ain't no real man if you can't put it down in the bedroom. You ain't no man. That's function.
Jesus.
But it's not who you are. Who you are deals with your core. Who you are deals with being I'm compassionate. I'm intelligent. I'm loving. I am caring. I am a person that's all in. That's my core. That's how I show up no matter what I do in any space I'm in. I show up. That's my essence. It's like when I was telling you earlier, I showed up as a therapist, as a counselor. I function as a therapist, but I show up as an exhorter. That's my core. I'm someone that's always going to uplift and encourage. That's my essence, my core. But I function as teacher. I function as counselor. I function in those realms. But you gotta understand and identify very quickly the difference between when you're in function and when you're dealing with essence. Because the moment you start attributing your value to what you do and you can't do that thing anymore, then it's going to cause you to have an identity crisis, because now you don't know who you are because you can't do that. And that's how you've always been identified.
That is so good.
Wow. I just share that.
That is so good. And the danger and the challenge is we've been functioning for so long that we have no idea who the essence of who we are is.
But it's and
that's the challenge.
As a man, because we keep it raw, we keep it real, we keep it 100 all day. So it was like for me, because I don't know, but I don't know if those of you that are out in podcast land, but for me, we're pastors as well. And so when the Lord called me home, I've been working since I was the age of 8. And for me, that was hard for me over the time. I think I wrestled with it for at least a year or two.
2 years at least.
Okay, 2 years at least. All right. However, but it's when you, because a lot of times we, because as men, we're grown up. Now, I hate to say it like this, but also as black men, because I'm black, I don't know about any other ethnic background, but it was, you gotta always bring home the bacon. You gotta always, you know what I'm saying? If you're not the breadwinner, then you're not a real man. And so for me, when God called me home, I'm struggling with this. And so then at the same time, even when we didn't see eye to eye, and it was like, for me, it's like, yo, I need to have my own. Because now, because of how I'm feeling with my lack of functioning, and thinking that the way I function was the essence of who I am, when from me personally, I said, okay, Jesus, now I know who I am, but now a way that I function to have the confidence of standing in my essence is no longer this.
Yes.
So how are you going? But it's hard when you're looking at you, then you begin to deal with how you begin to think about you. Then you begin to look at the responses of your spouse. And when your wife is not responding in a way that is, how can I say it? That is a lot of times, because when you're in there, no matter what come at you, they can be like, oh, the sky is wonderful. But in your mind, based on how you're feeling, oh my goodness, what a day. You know what I'm saying? So it's like whatever is being said to you, it's like, you know, because, oh, you're doing this, you acting like this because I'm not able to function in this way. Oh, we can't. I almost said something wrong.
Go ahead.
But oh,
we can't
get down in the bedroom because, oh, it's not good. So it's like, so now how, as a man, it's like, so now how am I able to please you when when what you're saying to me is saying this is my essence, but not recognizing it's my function. So it's like, how do a man, this is the turn just for the fellas. I might have to bring you on for bro talk tonight. Yo, like for real. Yeah, bro talk is going down Tuesday night. Yes, it is. Anyway, but because so many men struggle with it, because I had to get to the, for me, how I came over that, because basically the Lord just simply said, no, what did I call you to do? That is the essence of who you are. So even she'll tell you, my listen, things went up because I began to recognize my value. But for someone that is not in this space, how can they get there and still remain whole? Because a lot of times when we think as though we're trying to get to another place, we have to lose who we are. Meaning losing the essence of who we are. So how can a man that's a strong man, but just doing what, you know what I'm saying, he has to do, can get to that place of understanding their essence versus their function?
Okay. So for men, this is going to be a little difficult. I'm going to tell you right now, up front, off the top, right?
Bring it, sister.
I'm going to be honest with you. There's two things you're dealing with here. You're dealing with programming, right? Ooh. You've been programmed by society because society has identified what is acceptable norms for men. And then even more so by what is acceptable norms for your particular ethnicity of a man being black. Right. So it has already laid out what their expectation of a black man should be. And you've bought into that. We've bought into it through the television broadcasting, through radio, through media. All these things are influences to that. Not only that, wait, that's one influence. Your main influence is your family unit.
Yeah.
How granddaddy, great granddaddy, mama, uncle, auntie, your structure, your family structure and your unit created a certain type of programming as well. They identified for you what a man of faith should be. What does that look like? A black man of faith. So you've got all these programs, men, that are running in your head. And so you have become ingrained with someone else's thoughts and abilities about who you should be and how you should show up.
My goodness.
When did you, here's my question, take the time to figure out for yourself who, and I'm going to say this grammatically incorrect, who you be. Until you take the time to dig, because that's what you just said, E. You said, I had to take a moment and go back to God and figure out who I was. That's the only way that changes. You didn't shift your mindset until you came to a place where you had to identify for yourself who I be. Who is it that I am? Who is it that I've been called to be? I'm not saying from the titled position of pastor. Who you be is someone who is supposed to help others in their transformational journey. How that shows up is many different ways. Right? That shows up in many different streams. It doesn't just show up as pastor, but that's one realm in which it does. But you had to come to the essence of, I be someone who effects changes in the life of people, who brings deliverance in the lives of people, who speaks life into the lives of people. That's how I show up. That's the essence of who I am. I do that no matter where I am in any setting, no matter what. That's how I show up. That's my essence. But if you never do the work, if you never take a moment to identify and you just keep going along with the programming, that's why you're lost. Because you have gone ahead and bought into it and said, well, you know what? I mean, this is who I am. No, you're relying solely on function. You haven't ever touched your essence. So you're just going by the things that you do. So, for example, for years, I was teaching. That's what I did. That wasn't my essence. That's just one realm of how I show up. I didn't connect with the fact that in and of itself, I am a change agent. I am an instigator of change in the lives of people. I bring about transformative experiences. experiences so that they go from one state of being to the other state of being. That's who I am at my core. But I had to stop and I had to do my own work to find out and understand who I really was. So the answer is back to self-awareness. You must go back. You must take the journey to not just stick in the things that you do, but really unearth who you be. And in understanding who you be, then things like, if I don't have a job, it doesn't hit you as hard. Right. Because I don't have to have a job, because it doesn't impact who, the quality and the worth that I have as a man, because it's not tied to my identity.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Oh, it makes plenty of sense.
It makes plenty of sense. And your spouse can't do that for you. Because no matter how many times I told him that he was far more worth the value than he was even bringing home, being home. And I was like, you have no idea. Listen, just that impact.
We're
and
not
so
talking about Brother Thompson.
well, just in Thomas. Life in general and any couple, because what happens is we get lost inside of our marriage. We get lost inside of life. And when things get hard, the first thing we want to do is we want to separate, because we're like, I want something better. I want something different. So when we ask the question, so what do you want? Well, I don't know. Well, yeah, you don't know because you haven't done the self-work on yourself to figure out like what is your essence? What is your purpose? What are you here for? And once you can identify that, now what is the assignment that it's attached to your marriage? And what happens is,
what is the assignment that is attached to you?
Well, to you, but then also your marriage. Right. But because what happens is I believe that we carry the traumas of our past. Like when you were identifying, you know, we have to be the programs and everything else that we are. And so there is trauma attached to, well, if I'm not this, then I must be doing something wrong. And if our marriage doesn't look like this, then we must be doing something wrong. And if we aren't making this, it must be something wrong. And that's not true, but we're carrying the traumas of that. And now it's time to release the traumas, because now it's being injected inside of who we are in our marriages. And now it's just like, now you're looking up and it's a mess and you're trying to figure out where to go and what to do. And you want to get out of this marriage to go to another marriage or to go to another relationship with the same trauma that you're carrying.
My goodness.
Oh yeah. You have said a lot. You have said a lot right there. And a lot of times, here's the thing, when you're the spouse that's going through it, it's even more difficult at times, I think, for the spouse that's watching, because we want to be a help. We're a help me, right? That's our part of our function, right? So if I can't help you meet because you don't understand and haven't done your identity search, you don't know, I can't help you go.
Come on,
and so
Kelly.
Now you got me like, what in the world? So now I'm questioning my essence, my function. Like, what do we do here? And so what has to happen is you have got to be able in those moments to be honest and say, babe, I can only help you to the degree that you're able to identify for yourself what you need. I can't tell you and I can't lead you to that space. And to be honest, there is no comfort. There is nothing there that brings any level of comfort or satisfaction until that individual takes the time to be able to find out what their core and their essence is. That's the only time you'll see them come to a place of, whoo, I can breathe now. Why? Because by that time, they've done the work. But until then, it's going to be this unsettledness. It's going to be turmoil. It's going to be painful, because it's all a part of that process to get you to move and find who I be.
Right.
Because once he finds out who he is in the marriage, then that'll go a lot smoother, because then he'll know what he's got to do in the marriage.
Right. Yeah, we always say,
but I can't lead you somewhere. Y'all can't lead you someplace I don't know.
Right. That's so good. We always say, when you heal the little boy, the husband will rise up. The man will rise up. When you heal the little girl, the wife will rise up. The woman will rise up. Because it's so true. Once you are healed from your trauma, then you're able, like, you become self-aware. You understand why you have your triggers. You understand why you tick. You understand those traumas. And then you start that healing process and you don't take it out on your spouse.
Right.
A lot of things that that couples are carrying, and it's bleeding over their spouse. The unforgiveness with their fathers, the unforgiveness of their mothers. It's bleeding over, and your spouse is taking the brunt of that because you won't go and get the help that you need.
Even the life choices, because, you know, and I know, because, you know, we also talk about triggers and things that take place in our lives that bleeds over. And so, you know, the one thing that far as the military brought out is the PTSD, you know, yeah, with the whole war traumas and stuff of that nature. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times we have not even recognized that a lot of us that has nowhere been near now war, but still have the PTSD of what sexual has taken trauma place in, yeah, our lives. It's like, even for those, yeah, that have been molested,
yeah,
those that were, you know, yeah, beaten, you know, of some sort, mm-hmm, are having the PTSD of not having a father in their life, right, because it triggers something. Mm-hmm. If I, yeah, you know, I'm not a clinician, yeah, I don't know nothing about that, but this is what I do understand, that it triggers something. And so it's like, how can someone be able to cope with, like you were saying earlier, being self-aware, because that's like something hard. Is it all right if I?
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead.
So it was like I thank God for my, for God keeping my wife. She's a 9/11 mm-hmm survivor. And like I say, thank the blast you went right by her office. So, oof, you know, I'm not, she my wasn't God on the other side of the building, but the blast was mm-hmm right by her office. Like, yeah. So, mm-hmm, and so I could not understand, like, shortly thereafter, you know, when we're pumping gas, we like to kind of shake the car, you know, to make sure
he a little cheap. He want to get all the gas in there.
I try to make sure I feel every ounce in there. But she would begin.
You ain't gonna miss nothing.
I don't even like for the drips to fall on the ground. No, you could have dripped right on there. But it was for, like, after that, I never understood. When I was just shaking the car to get it in, she would, like, literally throw a fit, like a panic. So I yes did not understand what was really taking place. And I remember the mm-hmm one time when I opened my eyes, we were flying, and the plane hit some turbulence and hit a serious drop. She woke up and looked at me and had this look in her eyes that I've never seen before. And it was like, oh, okay, Lord, this is something different. So it's like, how, yeah, for someone not understanding that PTSD in the, you know, within the marriage, because a lot of things that I took for granted, I realized I couldn't mm-hmm take for granted anymore. So even when mm-hmm it look, even when we look at for those that was being, that was sexually molested, you know, whether yes it was by a male, like for me, you know, mm-hmm, I was molested by a male. So yeah, my sex drive was high because I wanted to make sure I didn't, amen, for making right, sure right, right, that I had to deal with, you understand where I'm going.
Direction. So make it real, make it plain.
it's getting, how do one begin to literally cope or being able to mm-hmm handle those moments? Because I do understand that there are levels of this, of the PTSD thing, mm-hmm, but how do we as a married couple able to cope mm-hmm with these, that PTSD that brings out those triggers and whatnot?
The first thing I'm going to tell you, and you kind of already walked through it actually in your, when you were explaining it, you did. The first thing you had to do was you had to be aware. I'm going to use that word a lot in this show. Awareness is everything. Mm. So when you saw that you were shaking the car and it was causing her to have a visceral response, it was in those moments that hold you on had to recognize.
Hold on.
Break that word down.
Hold on 1 second. You use the word. Now, you know my vocabulary ain't that deep, but I got to ask, a visceral?
Visceral response, meaning that she had an outward expression of, oh my God, of panic and all that. Oh, she didn't just respond quietly in her mind, but she literally showed you, oh my God, what are yeah you doing? You know, so that was visceral response.
Visceral.
So
I'm going to use that.
In thank that, you. What you had to do was you had to first recognize that it brought some level of trauma to her in that moment. That's the mm first thing. Mm-hmm. The second thing that you had to do was to educate yourself about what this is. So go learn about PTSD, the different phases, the different things, the triggers, all of those things. But then here's the next key thing. As a couple, learn your wife's triggers. Learn and already know, okay, based on what Bay has shown me, how I've seen her show up, and then interviewing her and talking with her, I now understand that for her, any type of dramatic movements trigger her, right? Any types of sounds, loud sounds, may trigger her. For example, I work with veterans. The 4th of July is the absolute worst holiday for them.
Yes.
It is the absolute worst holiday because you have all these fireworks going off. And though those of us who have never done anything like that think, oh, it's celebration, it's great, it's awesome. For these individuals, their PTSD is on a billion because it simulates for them the sounds of gunfire.
Right. Mm-hmm.
I literally have had veterans that have called me. I used to work on a deal with crisis line, and they're calling me from their closet.
Yeah.
Terrorized because it has put them right back on the field where they were when all of this stuff first happened. To the point that I have to use grounding techniques to help bring them back because they literally think they're there. They see sand, they see other machinists and guns and weapons. They see a present enemy and they're in their closet. So back to what I'm saying, learn what the disorder is. If it's PTSD as a spouse, if that's what your spouse has, learn about that. Get an understanding. What the Bible says, and all that getting, get an understanding. Mm-hmm. Get an understanding of that. Yes, get the clinical information. Then, number two, understand your particular spouse's response to it. Mm-hmm. What triggers them? What upsets them? Can you watch them and see their body begin to transition? Like a lot of times you'll see a physiological thing begin to happen with them. They may start to sweat. You see them shaking. They may start pacing. These are all physical signs that, hey, I'm not okay. Something's about to happen. I'm at an anxious level. I need help. And then here's the third thing. Learn certain remedies that can help them to decompress. That helps to relax them. That helps to bring them down. So, for example, when you were on the plane with Tamika, if you could have held her hand and said, "Bae, look at me in my eyes. I want you to breathe with me. Let's take a cleansing breath in through the nose. Hold the breath. Slowly blow it out. I want you to relax your shoulders. Relax your hands." If you could have walked her through some different things to help her, that would also help her to cope in the moment. And that's how you can get through this as a couple. Learn the disorder, understand the science and all the things about it. Learn your spouse and their particular responses with that disorder. And then learn the coping skills that can help them. And most importantly, seek a counselor because they can give you the coping skills and the different other things. You don't know if in some disorders, if there may need to be medication that can be a support that can help you to deal with what you're dealing with and coping with. Does that make sense? Does it seem right to you?
Yeah, it makes sense. That makes sense. So I have a follow-up, well, not a follow-up question, but when you look at, because the one thing that I've noticed with a lot of the marriages that a lot have, that a lot of the, both, well, mainly the females have gotten to the place to say it. The wives have been able to say it, you know, a few of the husbands, but, you know, the whole shame and guilt thing. But when it comes down to being molested, because those triggers are still coming out in their their marriage. And so then, therefore, you know, there is, a satisfaction that doesn't get met, if you will. So it's like, how can a couple be able to understand what they're dealing with internally and be able to verbalize it and then understand that how we can still be happy with each other when it comes down to the bedroom, if you will?
So trauma impacts us all differently, right? Mm-hmm. Whereas, and especially sexual trauma. So there are some individuals that will experience a sexual trauma and they may block it out. They don't recall it, but they, but locked within you, you hold, we hold trauma in our bodies. So it's not until you are having to be met with something that it comes out. So let me give you a case in point. There was a client that I had who was molested at a very young age and pretty much had blocked out the experience. They go along, they meet their spouse when they're in their early 20s, and they get married. Now, this person dated, you know, through high school and college, but didn't have any like sexual interactions during that time. They really kind of just stayed to themselves, but that was a part of that trauma, right? Mm. They didn't want to be touched. They didn't want, but they didn't understand that that's what was going on at the time. They just thought, oh, you know, I'm following along because they were a person of faith. I'm following along with, you know, the word and what the Bible says, and I'm going to wait till I'm married to before I do that. But check this out. Gets married, and all of a sudden, every time that they are intimate with one another, it's painful. It is so painful that it's excruciating every time, right? So she thought, oh my gosh, something's wrong with me, right? Something's got to be wrong with me. Like, she wanted to engage in the act and wanted to love her husband and wanted to give herself to him. But each and every time they were intimate, it caused so much trauma for her. So she goes to the, you know, OBGYN to have a physical exam. Doctor examines her thoroughly and says, there's nothing wrong physically. Like, I've run every test. I don't understand why this is so excruciating for you. Maybe you need to seek a counselor because this is not a physical issue. Mm. Goes to a counselor. Counselor does their work. She had forgotten the trauma, but her body had not.
Wow.
So wow. Since her body remembered the moment that this man is entering her, and I don't mean to be graphic, but I think y'all keep it real on this.
Absolutely, absolutely. 100
right here.
Right, right. The moment he began to enter her, everything in her tightened up. So that's why every time this was excruciating and painful, because her body was saying, no, wow. This is trauma. This is, even though this is my husband whom I love and this is, you know, I trust him and all that, her body was still traumatized and saying, no, we can't do this. And so what had to happen, the therapist had to bring husband in, of course, and talk him through and said she did not realize that she had sexual trauma at a young age. And her body has locked on to this trauma. Wow. Part of what has to happen for her is that you're going to have to be patient and talk her through things. Let her know before you enter what's happening. And let her know to relax. You're going to have a strong foreplay game, right? It's got to be strong.
Right.
So that before you come in, you have gotten her to a place of relaxation where she can release and where she can trust. And the moment that they were able to do that, that pain, all of that discomfort, all that stuff went away. She wow. didn't have those issues anymore. But she didn't realize about the trauma that she was holding in her body. And I think that that's for many of us.
Right.
Trauma, we hold it. And unless we come to an awareness, I said I was going to say that word. I'm going to keep saying it. Unless we come to an awareness, it's hard for you to move forward in that. So when you're talking about, you know, being able to be sexual with your partner, it goes back to your level of awareness for yourself. What do you know that's going on for you in your body? Mm. What do you know that's going on and has happened emotionally and mentally in your realm that is a hindrance or a roadblock to your intimacy? Mm. You've got to take the time to do the work. Like, there is no easy way around it. There is no just do this, just do that, spit on it, put some oil on it, and keep it.
Come that's on. Not,
right? That's right. Not how this works. It has got to be a thing of, I'm investing the effort and the energy to get to know me mentally, yes, spiritually, emotionally, physiologically, so that I can understand what the real problem is. Because a lot of times we're only treating symptoms. We're not treating the actual root cause of the issue,
right,
because we've not done the internal work to discover what's really going on for me.
Right.
Wow. Does that make sense? Did I answer your question? Because I want to make sure I was accurate.
Oh yeah, oh you was on point. Listen, I know. I hope y'all have been tuning in because my sister Kelly has been breaking this thing all the way down.
Yes, she has.
Oh my goodness!
And we hope that you have enjoyed her. Now,
it seems like we need to have a podcast. We didn't do everything.
Right, ooh, we sure didn't dig into everything, but this has been so good. Now, Kelly, tell our audience how they can contact you, how they can reach out to you and connect with you.
Absolutely. Listen, family, you can reach out to me through my website, and I will put that in the link, but it is www.kellygorham.com. It has every aspect of both my wellness practice as well as my counseling practice. So if you need mental health, I got you. If you just need some wellness so that we can recharge and refuel and get you a self-care plan that is second to none so that you stay on top of burnout, stress, and anxiety, reach out to that website, www.kellygorham.com, and I will be there to offer you support and care.
Awesome. Now, do you have anything coming up down the pipe?
I don't have anything that is open to the public coming down the pipeline. Right now, one of the biggest things I'm working on is I'm really committed to the wellness practice. And I have just partnered with one of the local spas in the area, and we're putting together packages to be able to facilitate wellness. So let me tell you just a little bit about it. One of the things that the spa offers, you're gonna love this. We offer an oxygen bar, right? Oxygen is proven to help with mental clarity, helping with the shifting of mindset and mood, just 20 minutes of that. So they offer different scents of where you can get a lavender or eucalyptus or lemongrass and can sit and take in that pure oxygen so that it not just rejuvenates your mind, but it also helps for your body as well. So doing that along with some of the things that I do that it's restorative, where I walk you through in your massage, if you're dealing with any type of trauma, and remember I said we hold trauma in our bodies, I will actually walk you through releasing some of that trauma through massage. It's amazing. When I say restorative, it helps you to really, you're talking about getting free and being able to release. That experience does that. It's very good for that. So we're yet putting that together. We're hoping to roll out by the summertime with that. I'm trying to figure out, is there a way I can do some of these things online? So that's kind of where we are right now, being able to have that physical space to do it, but also seeing what can I do for my online folks so they can get a similar experience and exposure. That's where we are.
Love it. Wow. Love it, love it, love it. That's awesome. And you're in the Atlanta metro area, right?
I am. I'm in the Atlanta area.
So
I
I'm
excited.
If you are in the Atlanta metro area and you're looking to be able to kind of go to a wellness spa to get this treatment, make sure that you look her up at ASA Center.
Oh, man, for real.
Yeah.
Listen, I don't care where you at, because we're going to hop a plane.
I know. And we got to see if we can get you on a retreat. Come on. Our retreat.
Hey, get on a retreat. Y'all best be ready.
That would be an awesome experience to be able to have that as a part of one of the retreats that we offer or an intensive. That would be awesome.
Don't understand. Y'all gonna be seeing a whole lot of this lady.
Yeah.
I'm trying to tell you. Oh yeah. Y'all gonna be seeing a whole
ready,
lot of
I'm ready. I'm ready.
Listen, we are excited about it. Thank you so much, Kelly, for joining us on today. Is there any last words that you'd like to be able to share with the audience?
That's gonna be a part two.
We know. Listen, I'm gonna be real quick though, because I know our time is short, but I don't want any of you to feel like you're alone. Right? A lot of times, because of what we're dealing with mentally and emotionally, it isolates us. It makes us feel as though there is no place where we can go. There is help for you. Reach out. If you don't reach out to me, reach out to a therapist in your local area. Reach out for support. Do not be afraid, because the moment that you don't speak out and share what you need, you're putting yourself in a box where you cannot get the relief and the release that you are so worthy of having. Listen, value you above all else. Yes. I know we've been trained to take care of everybody else in our realm, but It's like they tell you on the plane, if you don't put your own oxygen mask on first, you cannot help anybody else in their situation. So take time for you. Take time for God, you and God. And listen, reach out to supports as you need them. That's all I got to say.
Awesome. Man. Thank you so much. We so appreciate you. And thank you so much for tuning in and joining us on today. It has been an absolute blessing. And I know that it's going to be a blessing also to our viewers. So thank you so much.
Listen.
And again, you know how to reach out to her. We will make sure that we have your website available during the show notes as well, so they have access to you. And
I know she's trying to close that. What? Listen, I'm going to just tell y'all right now, we're going to have to schedule her again because we did not even dive into half of the stuff that we wanted to dive into. Listen, I don't know about y'all. I'm not overwhelmed, but I'm full. And, yo, this was just awesome. Go ahead on.
Yes.
I'm still swimming.
So we're excited. And so, Lord, we thank you, God, for each and every listener. We thank you, God, for Kelly. We thank you, Lord, for her ministry. We thank you for her business. We thank you for her family. We thank you, Lord, for all that she, all that you have in her and through her, her assignment here on the earth. And, Lord, we're asking that you would continue to bless her, that you would continue to keep her, that you would continue to allow her to be blessed, Lord, your favor to shine upon her and her business and her ministry, and Lord, all that she puts her hand to, in the name of Jesus, that God, you would continue, Lord, to just have your way amongst the lives of the people that were listening on today. Lord, for anybody who was going through a crisis or going through something, Lord, that they understand how to start the process of being able to get the help that they need and the restoration that they need. Lord, you provide the resources, Lord, and we thank you for just being a help to the people. We thank you, God, for laying it all out plain for us to be able to see and providing the answers to somebody. Somebody received their answer on today. They've been questioning inside of their mind, trying to figure out what to do, where to go, how to get it. And Lord, you provided somebody with an answer on today. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. We're asking that you would continue to just be with your sons and your daughters, that you would continue to labor before them, God, that you would continue to shower over them, that you would continue, Lord, to just bless them, God, as we seek you, Lord, that you will continue, God, to give us the desires of our hearts. Lord, that you would continue, Lord, to rain upon us, that you would continue, God, to just help us and help us each and every single day, God. Provide the resources, that you would just bless the finances, God, that we'd be able to go through the process, God, to be able to get what you have for us. And Lord, teach us, once we have this information, how to go and to prosper. Teach us, God, what to do with this information. Teach us and show us, God, how to implement this information. Lord, that we don't just get it and carry it and we don't allow the seed to spoil, but God, that we take it and we implement, that we take it and we work, that we take it and we do what is necessary, so that you can be that you can be seen inside of our lives, that you would continue to get glory out of our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. So that was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
So this is your girl Tamika.
It's your boy E-Rock Nell.
And this is Marriage Takeover Podcast Show, signing out.
Mahalo. Take over. We are the marriage takeover. Take over.
If you'd like to connect or to get a little closer with the Marriage Takeover, feel free to join the Marriage Takeover Connect membership. You can also follow us on all things social media at Marriage Takeover, and we hope that you enjoy the show.